Now we're holding on Chof Gimel Amud Bay is about the middle of the Amud, the line we're going to be addressing. We started yesterday in the Mishnah, the Meir and the Chachamim argue whether a person, suppose you have a, what we call the Zabla based in Zebur Le'echad, where we said each one of them picks one of the Dayanim, and then we had a Machlokes, the Meir and the Chachamim who picks the third Dayan. So we said, maybe this din doesn't apply Dafka to such a Beis Din, but in any case, Reb Meir had said that each one could passel the other one's aid. If one of them is bringing an aid, then the other, if one of them is bringing a dim, actually it said in the Mishnah, a dove in the plural, then the other one can say that they're possible, and I want you to bring other aidim. So we said, what does that mean? How could a mayor possibly say such a thing? So Rish Lakish had said that it meant that it means a doy. If the guy's bringing only one aid, given that one aid can't make you have to pay money anyway, then you would have the ability to passel him. And we said that the case would be, for example, that you said, yes, one aid usually would make me chayev only a shavua. I'm willing, fine, to accept your one aid as though he was two. Now, Reb Meir is saying that afterwards you could back out of that and say, you know what, no, if you bring two aidim, then fine, but otherwise I'm not paying money based on your one aid. That was one answer. Another answer we had was that we're talking about that that one of the Balei Din wants to join with another aid to say that the aid is possible. And we said, how would that work? Would mean where he's saying that the whole family are Avodim, and therefore that the aid is possible. So the mayor would hold that such a thing is possible, and the Chacham would hold that not. Next, Ki Osir Rav Gimi Omer Rav Yechanan. When Rav Gimi came, he explained the name of Rav Yechanan. Here's another way of understanding the Machlokas. Machlokas b'shtei kitei edim. The Machlokas is where the other Baal Din has two sets of edim. So you have Reuben and Shimon against each other in Beis Din. Shimon has brought two edim, has two pairs of edim available to testify to whatever it is that he doesn't owe the money or whatever it is. So now there are two sets of edim that Shimon has available, and Reuben wants to passel one of them. Now Reb Meir is going to hold as much as possible. You have to clarify, you have to bring forth any possible arguments that you have. So therefore, that would mean he has to bring both pairs to Beis Din. So now, therefore, if Reuben is going to come and say, you know what, one of these sets is possible, for whatever reason, it's not considered negeya be'edusa, it's not considered that he has a bias over here, and therefore he should be possible to say edus against them, because after all, he has another pair as well. So in short, what Shimon says, you know, Reuben, you owe me this money, and I have two sets of edim who will say so. So now he brings the first set, and Reuben says, no, they're possible. So Reb Meir would argue he's not considered negeya be'edus. It's not considered that he has a vested interest in saying that they're possible, because after all, Shimon is going to have another pair as well. Or he says he's going to have another pair. And Reb Meir figures that Shimon, to begin with, has to bring every possible piece of evidence that he has. So if his first set is possible, then yes, by all means, like he should, to begin with, be bringing both sets of edim. And therefore, if he doesn't, and one of them is possible because of what Reuben said, then that's his problem. It may even be, Rashi says, for example, it might be that so Shimon thought he has two sets of kosher edim, and now it turns out he has only one. That's his problem. He should have made sure to begin with more carefully that his edim are all kosher. But Rabbanan Savri ain't it sort of levader, whereas the Chacham hold that not. He doesn't have to bring all his evidence to Beis Din in the first place. So how can Reuven say these edim apostle? He would be negeya be'edus, because then, as far as he's concerned, once he apostles these edim, Shimon has no other. Yes, it may turn out in the end that Shimon has some other ones, but Shimon is able to say, I don't have any more edim, and therefore, so at that point, if Reuben passels these edim without just on his say so, then he's negeya b'dover. You can't accept his edus. He's very biased in that. So that would be the machlokas. Aval b'katz achas. But if Shimon to begin with says he has only one group of edim, divra hakol en yochol l'poslan, then everybody would agree that Reuven is not able to passel them, because how could we? If Reuven is going to bring other edim, that their passel is one thing, but for Reuven himself to say on his say so, I say that they're relatives, or I say that they're psulim or whatever, then no, of course even Rameyer wouldn't hold that that would work. So that's another way of explaining it. That he said in the name of Rabbi, that Rabbi Dimi had said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. So, Omer b'fon of Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. So, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi say to Rabbi Yechanan, "Ein shama lakat achas mahu." So, tackle what would happen if there's only one. If there's only one group. So he must say, what do you mean? Ein shama lakat achas. V'ha'amet avu b'kat achas yivra hakol en yochol aposlan. You just said if there's only one group, then everybody agrees that he can't passel them. So, what are Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi asking? Ella, no. What he wants to know is nimsus kat shnia krova. Kroven Upsulin Mahu. What would happen if it turns out that he started with two sets? So now Reuven said the first set is possible. So now he's left with the second set. But now, suppose it happens, after all, that the second set also turn out to be relatives, or they turn out to be possible. So what's going to happen? So Mahu. So now what's going to happen? Are we going to say that since the second group is possible, so it comes out in retrospect, it comes out that it comes out that Reuven was negeh be'edus when he spoke against the first one, against the first group. And in that case, we would say it turns out we have to discard his edus, because it turns out he wasn't a geva dover. We didn't know it at the time because we thought the second pair was available, but now it turns out the second pair turned out to be possible. So maybe we should say then that we, after, in retrospect, throw out his previous edus, or maybe not. The fact is, at the time, he wasn't negev edus. It's true we didn't know that later on this other set is going to turn out to be krovim of psulim, but after all, that's exactly what they are. And therefore, maybe we should say we do accept his edus to begin with, and we say, listen, it's Shimon's problem at this point, at this point. Now, Rashi explains that is the girsa that he had in front of him, which is the girsa that we have in the Gemara, is that. But Rashi has a couple of questions on it. Rashi doesn't like that explanation for a couple of Rashi doesn't like that girsa and that explanation for a couple of reasons. Because the fact is, what's the question? The mayor would still have to say, would still have to agree he's negei beedus. And so it comes out when he hadn't passed the first group, then he would have had to pay because of that. Now it actually turns out that the second group are actually clarifying for us that because that second group is disqualified, therefore we're going to talk about whether his first edus is possible or not. So rather, Rashi prefers a girsa that, Rashi prefers a girsa as follows. Reb Meir would hold Ein Tzorech Levarer, the Gersa we had in front of us in the Gemara was Reb Meir had held Tzorech Levarer, and the Chum hold Ein Tzorech Levarer. So now we're saying the other way around, that Rashi prefers the explanation, that Rashi prefers the Gersa, that to begin with, Reb Meir had said you don't need Ein Tzorech Levarer. Shimon doesn't need to bring all the possible pieces of evidence that he has to begin with, so all Shimon has to do is bring one pair of Edim, And therefore, even though he said he has two pairs, fine, Beis Din will tell him it doesn't matter. Right now, we don't need both pairs. Just bring the one, and if we need the other one, then we'll bring them. So now, when he brings them, and it turns out to be possible, then we're going to say it doesn't matter because he still has a second pair, and they'll be possible. So now when the Baal Din, when Reuven comes and says that he's going to passel them because he's going to passel them, then, fine. Reuven can be one aid or a pair to say that one of these pairs are possible, because Shimon will still be able to bring the other pair. Whereas the Chacham holds Tzorech Levarer to begin with, he has to bring all of the aiders that he has. And therefore, it means that to begin with, he's negeh be'edus. How can he join in to passel a different set of edim? So now, according to that, the question would be, fine, Rav Meir says, Ein Sarach Levarer, according to this Gersa, but right now, we don't have an Eidos, because to begin with, he brought one pair of Eidim. Now it turns out that one of those pairs of Eidim was disqualified, because it turns out that they are Krovim Epsilim. Now does it come out retroactively that he was Negev Be'Eidos, or do we say that, listen, we didn't know at the time, the second pair of Edom had not been brought yet, so maybe therefore it would work. So Rashi prefers that Gersa and that explanation, which is the opposite of the Gersa, the way that we have it in the Gemara. Tosfos actually defends Rashi's first explanation, Rashi's first Gersa, which is how we have it in the Gemara. The Meir holds Tzorech Levarer, therefore he would be able, the Meir would say, to passel one set of Edim, because so what, it doesn't matter to you if one set is passel. Beis Din will tell him, bring your other Edim, and he'll do what Beis Din says. So therefore, he's not gonna lose out because one set has been passed. Whereas the Chacham would hold Ein Sarach Levarer, and therefore, as far as we know, as soon as this pair is passed, then he has no more Edus. We don't know whether he has any others, because only afterwards, because he's does he say that I have others, and therefore the Chacham would say you can't passel them in the first place. So now the question would be, what does your Meir hold in such a case? So mahu. So what would be the din? Amar lahen. So Rabbi Yochanan answers them. Kvar heidu edim harishrenim. Listen, the first edim have already said their edus. So when it turns out, when the second group is possible, we already accepted the edus of the first one, the edus of Reuven and somebody else who said that this guy is possible. At that point, as we said, he's not negeya be'edus yet because there are other edim available on deck, and therefore, so now we now. Now we can't go and retroactively passel his explanation. So according to Rashi's first explanation, the answer of Rabbi Yochanan would be that, listen, Reuven together with somebody else already passeled them. Reuven wasn't Negev Bedover at the time, so that's it. Then we keep his Eidos, and yes, it turns out that now the second set is passel as well. That's Shimon's problem, but we still don't have to retroactively disqualify Reuven's Eidos. According to Rashi's second explanation, which again is more according to the Gersa that he prefers, that no, on the contrary, when we say that they gave Eidos, we mean the first set of Edim gave Eidos, and we're going to believe them. Now that it turns out that the second set of Passel, then we can't say, then we do have to retroactively Passel Reuven and company's Eidos. Because we say, now we know that they were, now we realize that ultimately they would have been Negev Bedover. And therefore, so he can't go and passel that, he can't go and passel them, because now it turns out he is Negev Bedover, given that the second set turned out to be Krovim Upsulim. So in short, in other words, when Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Kvar he'idur Edim Harishonim, which Edim Harishonim do we mean? Do we mean Reuven and whoever he joined with to talk against these Edim, or do we mean the first two Edim themselves? Okay, Ikadami Omer Rav Ashi, Kvar Heidu Edom Rishonim. Some say that it's Rav Ashi said that, not Rav Yochanan. Okay, in any case, so depending on the different Gersois in Rav Ashi, then what we're going to say is, in short, is that either we're saying that we're saying that in fact. According to the Meir, we will in fact say that Reuven has the ability to passel these Eidos and to passel the first Edim, and we're not going to throw out his Eidos, even though afterwards it turns out that he was Negev Bedover, because at the time when he said his Eidos, he was not. Or the other way around, we would say that it turns out that he was Negev Bedover at the time, and therefore we have to throw out his Eidos and reinstate the original Edim. Okay. But the point is, if all along, if there are many sets of Edom available, and Reuven is going to passel only one of them, then that's when Rav Meir would be saying that he has the ability, Reuven plus somebody else, has the ability to do that, because he's not negated by Edos, because there are still many more pairs of Edom available, and it's not like all of them are going to end up being passel. Well, the Gemara says, name of Pluta the Rebbe, Rav Shimon Gamliel Kamitsky. Well, should we have to say that Rav Meir and the Chachamim, according to that explanation, then, are having the same machlokas as Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel? the Tanya. Habol lidin b'shtarav. At this point, but we're saying that Rameir, according to this way of looking at it, Rameir and the Chachamim are arguing about the point called Sorech Levarer or not, according to the different Girsos in Rashi, whichever one of them holds Sorech Levarer, whichever one not. According to the Girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara, the Meir holds Sarech Levarer, and the Chacham hold not, and according to Rashi's second and preferred Girsa, the other way around, but the point is, we have this underlying point of Sarech Levarer. If a person comes to Beis Din and says, I have multiple pieces of Eidos that will support my position, is Beis Din going to tell him, well, then bring all of them, or is Beis Din going to say, fine, right now you just have to bring the minimum amount that's necessary to that if it turns out to be good, then we'll accept your claim, and if it turns out that it's not, then you'll bring the next piece, etc. So should we say that that's the subject of a machlokas of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, which we learned in Bava Basra, the Tanya, Habol Lidin B'Shtar of a Chazaka? Suppose a person comes to Beis Din and he has a shtar and he has a chazaka. So what we mean is, in other words, he has a chazaka on the land of 3 years, and he says, I've already had 3 years of chazaka, and in addition, I have a shtar that I bought the place. Usually we say after 3 years, he doesn't need to keep the shtar necessarily. Generally, the assumption is, the reason behind the Gemara had explained in Bava Basra, the reason why after 3 years, the reason why 3 years is a chazaka, because typically a person doesn't hold on to his shtar that long. But nevertheless, in this case, he's saying, I do have both. I have 3 years of chazaka, for which I have edim, as well as I have the actual shtar. So, nidin v'shtar divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says he's judged using the shtar, meaning, in other words, he has to bring the shtar. If he doesn't bring the shtar, then the chazaka is not going to help. The shtar stands in place of chazaka, but here he says, I have the shtar, and therefore Beis Din is going to tell him, well, then bring it. Reb Shimon Gamliel, I'm a nidin v'chazaka. Reb Shimon Gamliel says he can be judged based on chazaka. It's enough for him to say. So now, nidin v'chazaka sounds like, Rashi explains, it sounds like he must bring the Ede chazaka and we have to ignore the shtar. So the Gemara asks, v'avinan ba, now we discussed this when we learned this in Bava Basra. What does that mean? V'chazaka v'loy b'shtar? Does Reb Shimon Gamliel say he must bring the Ede chazaka, the Edim that he was there for 3 years, he can't bring the shtar? Why should he not be able to bring the shtar? The shtar is also good evidence that he owns the field. Ela'ema af b'chazaka. Rather, what it means is Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying it's one or the other. If he has Ede chazaka, then he doesn't need to bother bringing the shtar. So in other words, we would be saying the Kaimalanda with Sarah Klavara Pligi. Now we know in the relevant sugya in Bava Basra, which we learned in the last parak of that Masechta, is that the underlying machlokas between them is on this matter of Sarah Klavara. So Rebbe is going to hold Sarah Klavara. So you have to bring all the evidence that you have, both the shtar and the chazaka. And Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying you can pick what you can do one or the other. So does that mean that Rebbe and that Rameir and the Chachamim are arguing on the exact same machlokas? So the Gemara says, Loi, I'll leave it at Reb Shimon Gamliel, kula amalei pligi. No, within Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion that he has the choice which one to bring, then there's no argument. Because Reb Shimon Gamliel is clearly saying that in Sarach Levarer, so therefore obviously he doesn't hold, obviously any opinion that would say Sarach Levarer, can't be like him. So if we say that the Chachamim hold, like the Girsa and the Gemara in front of us, that Rameir holds Sarach Levarer, then there's no way he can hold like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Necessarily only the Chachamim would hold according to him. Ki pligi aliba de Rebbe. The machlokas would only be within Rebbe's opinion about the shtar versus the chazaka. De Rameir ke Rebbe. So the Rameir would be straight out like Rebbe and say that it means that Sarach Levarer. He has to bring everything that he could. V'rabbanan, where's the Chachamim? Amri loch, the Chachamim are going to say to you, there's a difference between our case over here as far as the two sets of Edim versus over there. Ad kamla ka'omer Rebbe Hossam ela de chazaka ela de mekayach shtara ka'asi. After all, what are the Chachamim saying? Ela de chazaka de mekayach shtara ka'asi. Rebbe is talking about over there. You know what? Think of it. The chazaka depends on the shtar. There's no chazaka unless previously he had a shtar. In Bava Basra, it talks about the concept. The expression is kol chazaka she'eni mataina ena chazaka. In order for a chazaka to be valid, it has to be backed by a taina. It can't be, for example, that somebody comes and says, "What are you doing in this field?" And you say, "Well, I saw the field wasn't occupied. I figured nobody owns it, so I moved in." That's not a chazaka. There has to be a chazaka means that that I bought the field from you X number of years ago, 3 or more years ago, and I lost my shtar. That would be a taina that backs up the chazaka. Well, then Rebbe says, given that the chazaka itself is only an outgrowth of the shtar, then you've got to bring the shtar. Aval hocha, and Reb Shimon Gamliel, fine, disagrees. Aval hocha, dehani edim, lav mekorach edim, achrini kaosu, but in the case we're talking about over here, each set of edim is independent of the other. Their koyach doesn't come from the previous set. Afilu Rebbe moided, in sorach levara, then even Rebbe might well hold that in this case, in sorach levara, and it's fine for him to bring one set of edim, and therefore, so Shimon, to begin with, could say, this is all the edim I have, and Reuven, you have no ability to passel them, just by joining together with another aid, and saying that they're psulim, or avodim, or what have you, because look, you're negeh be'edus. I, Shimon, may well have another pair of edim on deck, but that's his business. He doesn't necessarily have to tell Beis Din in the first place that he has them, and therefore he can block Reuven from and somebody else from disqualifying them. That's according to Rashi's first lashon. Again, according to Rashi's second and preferred lashon. And what we mean is that even if you want to, so you could say that both of them, that Reb Meir would hold, that the Reb Meir would say, what I'm saying is even according to Rebbe, namely that even though Rebbe says over there, Tzorach Levarer, I might well hold that in this case, that in this case, Ein Tzorach Levarer, according to Rashi's second Girsa. Rashi points out the halacha is generally like Rebbe against the halacha is generally like Rebbe, which is why the Gemara is trying to make both Reb Meir and the Chachamim's opinions in our Mishnah work according to Rebbe. Okay. In any case, so it's not necessarily the same machlokas. They're both arguing within Rebbe's position, which the halacha would be like Rebbe against Reb Shimon Gamliel. But in any case, the point is. That's another way of understanding why the mayor says that the one Baal Din has the ability to passel the other one's Eidus. So now we're saying we do mean both Eidim, but we mean he joins together in an Eidus together with somebody else to say that the guy is an Eved or to say that the guy is apostle Eidus because of Avedus or what have you. And the Macholika says, can he do that? Isn't he negev adaber? And the mayor is saying that yes, he could because there may be other Eidim available, and the Chachamim are saying that he can't. Okay, so that's another way of understanding their machlokas. The Gemara continues, Ki also Robin Omar, Rabbi Yechanan, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Here's another way of understanding the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Reisha be'edim psulim, now in the Mishnah we had two machlokas we had three, but the first one as far as the composition of the Zabla basin is not relevant to our point over here, but we had two machlokas as far as passeling. We had Reb Meir had said that each one can passel the other one's dayonim, and then we had Reb Meir and the Chacham say that only if he brings proof that they're kroivim epsulim. And we had he can passel the other one's edim, and again the Chacham say only if he brings proof that they're kroivim epsulim. So now, Robin is going to explain in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Reisha, the Edim Sulim, the Yonim Ksherim. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about where he says that both the Edim and the Dayonim are apostle, and Beis Din checks into it, and they find that what he's saying is correct about one of them. So we would say, so for example, we find out that yes, what he said, these Edim are apostle, these would be Edim, apostle Edus, because for example, they're Balei Aveda, we find that, you know what, it is in fact so, based and corroborates that point. But meanwhile, he also said about the Dayanim that one or more of them was no good, and it turns out that he's wrong about that. Bastin doesn't find what he said about them doesn't find what he's saying about them valid. Well, we could still say Reb Meir would say nigger to pass the Edim, pass the Nami Dayanim. Once it turned out that he was correct as far as the Edim, then therefore we can say that we accept his psul of the Dayanim as well. So even though we haven't, by the Dayanim, it's not that we found specifically against what he's saying, but in the case of the Edim, we were able to corroborate what he said from independent sources. He said that these Edim apostle, let's say, because they're Balei Aveda, and we checked into it and we found from independent sources, yes, indeed, they are Balei Aveda. Meanwhile, he's saying something similar about the Dayanim, but we don't find any evidence to back that up. We only have his say-so. Well, the mayor is going to say, once we see that he was correct as far as the Eidim, then we should accept what he says as far as the Dayanim as well. The Sefer, the Dayanim Sulam, the Eidim Kshayrim, the Sefer, the other Machalokas, the Meir and the Chachamim, would be the other way around, where it turns out what he said about the Dayanim is correct. They are, in fact, Pasul, the Eidim Kshayrim, but we didn't find anything to Pasul the Eidim, and therefore they still have their Cheskas Kashrus. Where again, we would say, the bigger the Pasli Dayanim, Pasli Nami Eidim. Where the Meir would say, then, since once we've shown that what he said as far as the Dayanim is correct, then we're going to accept what he said as far as the Edim either also, just based on his say-so. So that would be what Rameyer means when he says that he can passel the other one's Dayanim, or we can passel the other one's Edim. We mean he's arguing on both of them, and one of them we were able to corroborate, and one not. This Migri over here, this is not the regular Migri in Chas. Migri just means because of. Then therefore, we're going to accept what he says on the other one as well, and the Chacham disagree. So what's this maskeflor Rava? Rava asks on that. Bishlema, migur de pasti edim pasti namid dayani. You want to tell me that because we accept, because we find what he said about the edim to be true, therefore we should also accept what he said about the dayanim. Fine. Ikabe dinachrina. Listen, there are plenty of other bate dinim in the world. If we accept what he said, that these dayanim are posel, then fine. It's not such a loss to, we can say he's not negev the edus. It's not such a loss to, it's not such a loss to Shimon, his Baal Din, because fine, it just means Shimon is going to have to find another Beis Din. So therefore, fine, Reb Meir might well say then that once we know that what he said about Shimon's Edom is true, then fine, we're also going to accept what he said is true as far as the Dayanim. Elam nigu de pasti dayanim pasti nami edim. But you're telling me the other way around, that if we find that what he said about the dayanim is true, then automatically the mayor is going to say we have to accept what he said about the edim is true as well. Vah edim tuleka. What do you mean? Shimon may well not have other edim, and then you're preventing him from bringing his case altogether. So he's very much negeba davar. How could you believe him? So the answer is so Rava continues. So the answer is loy tzricha de'ikakat acheres. So okay, the case could be where he has another set of edim as well. Gemara says, what do you mean? V'holeka kat acheres mai. So what are you telling me then? That the implication is if he doesn't have another pair of mai, what would be the din? Hokinami dolei matzi pasli. Then he wouldn't be able to pasle them. Then why do you, Robin, have to bring this new explanation? Hainu did Reb Dimi. Then that amounts to the same thing as Reb Dimi said. Reb Dimi had also said that if there's not another set of edim available, if Shimon doesn't have another set of, if Shimon says, I don't have any other edim available, then Reuven doesn't have the ability to pasle these. So where's the actual difference between what you're saying and what Reb Dimi is saying? And the answer is ikubinayom migri. Fine, you could say that Reb Dimi and Robin are arguing within what Reb Yochanan said specifically about this point of migri. Demar sava aminin migri, mar sava lay aminin migri. Namely, this concept that Robin is bringing in, this idea of migri. This idea that once one part of his edus turns out to be correct, then we should also accept the other part about he said about the dayanim. Therefore, we should accept about the edim, or vice versa. Robin is mentioning that point. Reb Dimi is not mentioning that point. So in other words, Reb Dimi would say to explain Reb Yochanan and to explain our Mishnah, it's not a matter of migri. Whichever if Reuven is saying that Shimon's Edom apostle, it depends strictly on the question, are there other, does Shimon say to begin with that he has other pairs of Edom? So if he does, then fine, we can accept his Edos about one pair, because we can say, fine, even if we disqualify them, he's not negated the Edos, since there is another pair available. What happens if that other pair turns out to be an apostle after all? Then that will be subject to the discussion we had before of Rav Ami and Rav Asi about what happens then. But in any case, as long as the second set turns out to be kosher, then no problem, we can passel the first set based on his say-so. And we don't have this concept of niggery, that if he says that the dayanim were passel and it turns out he's correct, we should also automatically, what he says about the edim, Reb Dimi never said such a thing. As opposed to Robin is the one who's bringing up that point, that that's another way in which he can passel the edim, by saying that the dayanim were passel, and the edim are passel, and it turns out he's correct, we have independent evidence of what he said about the dayanim, are we going to accept what he said about the edim? Then Rameyer is saying yes. Okay. So in short, we have several different ways of explaining Rameyer and the Chachamim's opinions in our Mishnah. The Gemara says Gufa. Now let's get back to something we said before. We said, when we first brought up Rameyer's opinion, We said, Amar Shlokish Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavazeh. How could the holy mouth of the mayor say such a thing that that Reuven has the ability willy-nilly to passel Shimon's Edim? Tony Edoi, and he explained that it meant one aid, and we said that it meant Rav Dimi bar Rav Yosef. I explained that it meant that it meant well, actually the Gemara had first explained before we got to Rav Dimi bar Rav Yosef. Whatever, we had explained that it means that that Rav Dimi bar Rav Yosef something else, but whatever. Anyway, the point is we had said that it means that he said to begin with, when if you bring one aid, fine, I'm willing to accept it as though it was true. Now can he back out of that or not? The mayor holds yes, and the Chacham hold no. So that was that. But now the Gemara is going to shtelzich on Rav Shlokish's. On Rish Lakish's way of expressing himself. Why would he say that? Why would he say about Rav Meir, Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavazeh? So, Amy, is that so, that Rish Lakish would talk like that? If anybody were to see Rish Lakish in the Beis Medrash teaching Torah, you would be able to picture it as though he were uprooting mountains and grinding them one against the other. In other words, Rish Lakish was a tremendous Baal Pilpul. He had tremendous ability of analysis, to be able to ask and answer questions. So that means he was so sharp that not necessarily would he be speaking in that. Of course, he's going to have respect for the mayor, but to speak in such a way, Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavazeh, that's not the kind of thing that a chorif like that is going to do. You often find, for example, you often see, for example, that Rishonim will argue on at each other, or occasionally even Achronim against Rishonim, and they may say, for example, they may say with all due respect or something like that, but they're not going to say in a way, Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavazeh. How could this holy mouth say that? And we have to correct what he said in order to, we have to correct the wording of what he said to make it fit. No, he would just say, listen, what he said, I'm going to show logically that this can't be so, and therefore that's it. Don't accept this opinion. Let's go find another way of explaining it. So why is Rish Lakish the chorif like that, using this expression Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavazeh? Rish Lakish himself is not that kind of person who needs to show such deference to the mayor. So the Gemara says, why? What's the problem? Why? If you saw a mayor in his time in the Beis Medrash, you would say it's as if he's taking mountains of mountains, gigantic mountains, and grinding them once another. In other words, Reb Meir himself is a tremendous Baal Pilpul and has an even greater analytical ability than Rish Lakish. So yes, Rish Lakish might well say, you know what? Yes, I know what it means to be oikah horim like that. But nevertheless, I recognize Reb Meir is so much greater than me, and therefore he would speak with such deference about about Reb Meir. So what's the problem? So no, Hachi Kamar. So you're right. We're not asking since when does Rish Lakish use such wording. On the contrary, we're saying what we mean by pointing that out is just the opposite. We're saying come see how much the Talmidei Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael love one another, that even Rish Lakish, even though he's very sharp and a great Chacham, he still used such a respectful expression about Reb Meir, calling him Pek Kodesh. So, in other words, the Gemara is not wondering why would Rish Lakish use such an expression. On the contrary, the Gemara is saying, wow, look at that expression that Rish Lakish uses about Reb Meir, showing that even though he's sitting over there and analyzing and grinding up mountains, nevertheless, he still uses such deferential terms, such expressions of respect when talking about Reb Meir. So in other words, basically, Ben Yehoyada explains that the question was not that Rish Lakish should argue with Reb Meir. Rish Lakish is an Amora, Reb Meir is a Tana, but why is he using such an expression, Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavazeh, which doesn't seem typical for Rish Lakish? And the answer is actually that, okay, because Reb Meir is so much greater than Rish Lakish, then yes, he would use such an expression. But still, Rish Lakish could have just said that he doesn't need the Pek Kodesh Yom HaDavazeh. The point is, Rish Lakish wants to demonstrate with that wording how much he loves the Chachamim, the other Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, including Reb Meir. So it was because, as the Gemara is going to explain over here, that the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael had tremendous love for each other, and even when they argued with one another, they would still show tremendous deference and tremendous love to one another. There's also an interesting explanation that the question is specifically why he uses the expression the Sanhedrin Ketana on our Masechta gives an explanation that the question is specifically why he uses the expression Peh Kodesh. Why particularly that expression? And the answer is because why is Reb Meir saying Zeh Poisel Edav Shel Zeh, that he does passel the other one? Why does he have to say it almost sounds like he should. That he should passel the other one. He should say Yochel Lifsol or Naaman Lifsol or something like that. So Reish Lakish is bothered by the fact that a mayor should speak in such a way when we're saying. And the question is, well, Reish Lakish himself will use strong expressions sometimes. So the answer is that even though the mayor learns with such a, even though he uses such a forceful expression, but nevertheless the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael were very careful to show respect for one another. So therefore, yes, we are asking why the mayor is using like such an abrasive expression, Zeh Poisel Edav Shel Zeh, you better passel the other one. And the question is why the mayor is using and the mayor is using that expression. And the answer is because we're saying that. And the answer is Reish Lakish wants to answer because he's saying in his way to only pass on one aid, and it's not really so bad if he wants to do that. One aid, after all, is not to aid him, so therefore he is able to retract. Okay. So the Gemara says, so Boyerei Kamach Mechadvin Zeseh, come see how much the Talmud Chacham of Eretz Yisrael love and show respect for one another. Ki Hodi Yosef Rebbe. We have an example where one time Rebbe was sitting, V'ka'omar, and he's saying, Oso Lahatmin Asatsoinin. And before Shabbos, you're not allowed to take a cold dish, for example, cold water, and insulate it and wrap it up in order to keep it cold for Shabbos. We know there's a concept, you're not allowed to do it with hot food, there's limitations on doing that before Shabbos, because the Chachamim were concerned that you might reboil it on Shabbos or whatever. So now, Rebbe is saying the same thing as far as taking, for example, a bottle of cold water and wrapping it up in blankets or something. So Rebbe would say you're not allowed to do that before Shabbos. Because he figures the Yad Rama explains, because then if you do that with cold things, you might come to do that with hot things, and that's also the Rabbanim. But Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says to him, Abba hitu lahatmen satsonin. You should know my father, Rabbi Yossi, allowed us to wrap up and insulate cold food. It's only hot food that you're not allowed to, because of the concern that you might reboil it, or there might be hot ashes in there or something. Omalei, so Rebbe says, you know what? Kvar hora zaken. The elder, Rabbi Yossi, has already given the psak. So in that case, fine, I retract what I said, and you could do atmana with cold water. So now, generations later, Omer HaPapa, Boyerei Kam Chabven Zeseh, come see how much we see from this little exchange, how much the Tanoim in Eretz Yisrael had love and respect for one another. The Ilu Rabbi Yossi Kayam, had Rabbi Yossi been alive when all this was going on, Hayakofer for Yosher Lifnei Rebbe, he would be subjugated and he would be sitting in front of Rebbe as a Talmud. And we know that. Because Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is fully the equal of his father as far as Torah and Yiras Shemayim and everything. The fact is, Rebbe is the Nasi, and therefore everybody is going to be subject to him. And Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is fully of the caliber of Rabbi Yossi, the kofer for Yosef, the higher kofer for Yosef Lifnei Rebbe, and he's sitting bowed and subject in front of Rebbe because Rebbe is the Nasi. So Rebbe is the top person over there. And yet Rebbe says with respectfulness about Rabbi Yossi, you know what? The elder has already paskin, and therefore I retract what I say in favor of his. So we see, in other words, that Rebbe had tremendous respect for Rabbi Yossi and for Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi as well, and therefore that shows the love that the Chachamim had for one another. Rebbe doesn't just say, basically, listen, I'm the Nasi, what I say goes, but rather he's showing tremendous deference for another Talmud Chacham's opinion and saying on him, Kvar Hora Zaken, the elder, the respectable Talmud Chacham, has given the psak, and therefore I retract in favor of him. So that leads the Gemara into a bit of discussion about this point, about the different styles of learning in Bavel versus in Eretz Yisrael. So we're saying in Eretz Yisrael, they had tremendous Avas Yisrael for one another. Now in Bavel, of course, they also had Avas Yisrael, but it expressed itself in a different way. In Eretz Yisrael, was saying that they had more of a spirit of an open spirit of friendship to one another. Of course, they're challenging each other with questions in the Beis Medrash, but they're never doing it like in an aggressive type of way. Whereas in Bavel, they would. So the Gemara brings several drushes in that connection. There's a pasuk. Zechariah has a number of nevuos, some of them referring to how things that Zechariah lived at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. So a number of his nevuos deal with how things are going to be in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash and afterwards. So he describes, V'ekachli shnei machlos, he says, I took for myself two sticks, la'achad korasi noyam, one of them I called gentleness, la'achad korasi choivlim, and the other one I called, choivlim, like damaging and beating up. And I was pasturing the sheep. So in other words, the Jewish people are compared to sheep, as we find in that metaphor often used in Tanakh and in davening. So Hashem is saying that I'm going to have two sticks with which to lead the Jewish people. Noyam elu tamar chacham sheba Eretz Yisrael. So the noyam, the gentle one, refers to the tamar chacham in Eretz Yisrael. Sheman imen zela zeba halacha. They're pleasant to one another in halacha. So in other words, they look into it together. And yes, they ask questions and they answer to each other, but there's never this aggressiveness of each one would correct what the other one is saying, and that way it comes. Rashi explains, and that way it comes out very clearly, but not in a way of wait a minute, how could you say such a thing? So that's the Tachamin Acham in Eretz Yisrael, with a gentle way like that. They're the Noyan. Choivlim elit Tachamin Acham Shem Bavel. The Choivlim refers to the style of the way the Tachamin Acham in Bavel Shemachablim Zela Zeba Halacha. They like beat each other up and damage each other in halacha, meaning, in other words, that I can't possibly agree with what you say, because such and such, how could you say such a thing, and so forth. That's the style of the Chachamim in Bavel, that are more aggressive to one another. So, in other words, Rav Oshi is saying, it's not like, you can't say, for example, that one is better than the other. Each one, the Pashtus, I guess, has its advantages. The fact is, we learn the Gemara Bavli, which is full of that kind of thing, much more than the Talmud Yerushalmi. But nevertheless, the point is, these are two parallel methods, which Hashem is saying, that each one of them has its place. One in Eretz Yisrael, one in Bavel. Similarly,
no, but at the end of the day, the one that has the midos is the one who is better.
But they both have midos. That's the point. It's expressed differently in the way that they talk to one another in Bavel versus in Eretz Yisrael. But even in Bavel, ultimately, as we say, es vohe v'sufa, even if it seems that they're fighting and they're enemies to one another during the debate, afterwards, since they're all in it l'shem shemayim, then afterwards they show that they're truly friendly to one another. So in Bavel, they arrive in that way in this more aggressive method. In Eretz Yisrael, to begin with, they have more of the noyam method. But each one has its place. And each one is showing good midas. Chas v'shalom, we would say the chacham of either place didn't have good midas.
Eventually, it's not what they have; it's what their talmidim have.
Talmidim also learn good midas from them. The fact is, we have generations of chachamim in Bavel who had tremendously good midas and who gave us the Talmud Bavli as we have it. So the Gemara gives another example, and from another nevuah of Zechariah, Vayomer Eli, Zechariah sees a whole vision over there of a menorah with olive trees supplying it with oil and so forth, and he sees at one point, he sees there are two pipes giving oil to the menorah over there. So he asks, what are they? Vayomer, and the Malach says, Eila Shnei Bnei HaYitzher, these are the two sons of the oil, who are standing in front of Hashem, the master of the world. And a few psukim earlier, it says, with shnayim zeisim aleha, there are two olive trees by this menorah, one on one side and one on the other. So in other words, we have these two things on the two sides are being described as yitzhar, which means oil. They're also being described as zeisim, which means olives. So what are they? Olives or oil? So the Gemara explains, it's both. The oil refers to the chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. They're gentle to one another in discussions of halacha, like olive oil. So in other words, again, the idea being that in Eretz Yisrael, they go about in a smooth olive oil-like way in coming out with the conclusion in halacha, in Torah. Ushnayim zeisim aleha, when it says a few psukim earlier, there are two olive trees on the sides of the menorah, eidah tamen chacham shebabavel, that refers to the tamen chacham in bavel, shemerurin zelozeba halacha kezayis. They act in a bitter way to one another in halacha, like olives. So again, in other words, the same idea that in Bavel, they adopt this more forceful and aggressive kind of way. Again, not to say against them, but to say each one is a different style. Both of them Hashem approves of. Therefore, he shows both of them in the vision to Zechariah. Each one has its time. Each one has its place, and each one is acceptable. Obviously, again, in either case, they both do have good midas. We're talking about how they express that in their debates in Torah. Another one. Here's another one, and this one actually has something a little negative against the people of Bavel, namely another nevuah of Zechariah. Va'esa enai ve'era. He says, I lifted up my eyes and see. Ve'hine shtayim noshim yotzis. There are two women coming out. Ve'ruach v'chanfehem, and there's wind under their wings. Ve'lahenok knafayim v'chanfeh chasida. They have wings like the wings of a stork. Va'tisener asa efa ve'na shemayim ve'na oret. They're carrying the efa, which is a unit of measure. Between heaven and earth. Rashi explains the Eifa refers to the Yetzirah. The two women, Rashi explains, based on, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain over here, represent two bad midas of Chanufa and Gasas Aruach. Chanufa means hypocrisy or flattery. It includes, for example, when you say to a Rosha, what you're doing is fine and good. The other one is Gasas Aruach, which is pride. So the two women represent that. The wind, the Ruach under their wings, represents Gasas Aruach, represents pride. And they're carrying the Eifa, which represents the Yetzirah. So the Zechariah continues, I said to the Malach who's speaking to me, Onah Hema Melichas this Eifa, where are they bringing this Eifa? Vayomer Eli, and he answers me, Livnes Lavayis Be'eretz Shinar, to build a house for it in Shinar, which is another name for Babel. So in short, these two women representing two bad midas are going to set up shop in Babel. This refers to these two bad midas of Chanufa, represented by the wings of a chassidah, because that's what one meaning of a choynef is. Another meaning of choynef, besides that it means somebody who flatters a rishoyim, it also means somebody who himself is a hypocrite. He puts on a show as though he's a frumta guy, when really he's nothing of the sort. So he's represented, so he's making himself out to be a chassid when he's not. Therefore, he's represented by the wings of a chassidah. And the other one, Gasas Aruach, is represented by the wind under the wings. Lebavel, and all of that, Shiyoda Lebavel, all of that came down to Bavel. So in other words, there are those midas do have a home in Bavel. The pastors, I guess you could say the Gemara is bringing that in the sense that we said that the Talmud Chacham and Bavel are using this aggressive posture to one another. They do have to be careful, after all, that they don't have Chanuf of Agas Saruach in the bargain. They should make sure that they have the good midas that the Talmud Chacham is supposed to have. Well, the Gemara says, "Gasas Aruach leBavel Nochis." You're telling me that Gaiva came down to Bavel. Va'omamar Asara Kabin Gasas Yodel Olam. We say in Kiddushin that 10 measures of Gasas of Gasas Aruach of pride came down to the world. Tisha Notla Elam. Elam, which is an area in Persia, it's the capital of Shushan, took 9 of them. Va'achas Kol Olam Kulei, and the whole rest of the world got 1. So we see that Gasas Aruach in the world can mainly be found in Elam. And the answer is Ain. The Bavel Nachas, it came down to Bavel, the Ishtar Bubi, who the Ishtar of La'elam, and then it spread forth to Elam, and therefore it wound up finding its home in Elam. So yes, it started out in Bavel, but it didn't stay over there, it moved eventually to Elam. And therefore, that's why you find the Gasei Aruach mainly in Elam. And the Gemara says, Dekanami, in fact, you can see that clearly from the wording of the Pasuk, Dechtiv, Livnes Lo Vayis Be'eretz Shinar. Because the Pasuk says to build for her a house in the land of Shinar. Now, first of all, Rashi says the word Lo isn't singular. So you see that only one of these two bad midas took up residence in Bavel, the other one not. Also, there's the point Rashi mentions on the Pasuk. This is one of 3 places in Tanakh where the word Lo, which usually has a mapik in the hay, and you pronounce the hay, Lo. Here, the hay is silent. It's one of 3 places in Tanakh where you have that. Therefore, it represents that the house didn't endure. It started out in Bavel, but it didn't endure over there. So the Gemara says, Shnamina, okay, that proves that in Bavel, you have Chanufa, you have this idea where people act hypocritically and pretend like they're better than they are, but not the Gasas Aruach. So the Gemara says, why? Maybe the Gasas Aruach is in Bavel after all. Va'omamar simin the Gasas Aruach anius. A simin, how do you know when people have Gasas Aruach, is when you see that people are poor. Vanius of Babel, Nachas in poverty, went to Babel, because in fact the Gemara in Kedushin there also says that of the 10 measures of poverty in the world, 9 of them went to Babel. So therefore, yes, if poverty and gas v'ruach tend to go hand in hand, then yes, apparently there is a lot of gas v'ruach in Babel. And the answer is, my anius Torah. No, because when we say poverty, we don't mean poverty in gashmius. We mean poverty of Torah. We mean people who don't know. So the point is, in other words, a person, and the point is, Rashi explains in Kedushin, the connection is, when a person feels this gashmius ruach, he feels, well, who do I have to learn from? I know it all. Therefore, he never ends up learning Torah very much. And that you find more in Elam. Dichtiv, as we find the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Ochos Lanu Ktana, the Malachi Asharis, the based in Shamayla, whatever, said the Pamali Shamayla, says, we have a little sister, Vashadayim Engla, and she has no breasts. So what does that represent? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Elam, Shazachsa Lumud, Veloy Zachsa Lalamid. This refers to the country of Elam, where they have the schus of learning Torah, but not to teach it. Namely, who lived in Elam, historically, the great Chachamim, who lived in Elam, with Daniel and Mordechai. Daniel, we find both of them, located in Shushan, which is the capital of Elam. They had the schus to learn lots of Torah, but not to teach it, because the people over there weren't receptive to learning Torah. So that because they were the Gashmi Ruach. So therefore, there ends up being a poverty of Torah in Elam. Here you have these tremendous tzaddikim, Daniel and Mordechai, and they have nobody to teach over there because nobody's interested in learning from them.
Wasn't Mordechai all about teaching the Yidden Torah?
He was about teaching the children Torah. We find that he gathered together 22,000 of them in the face of Haman Zera. First of all, that might mean only in the face of Haman Zera. Before that, maybe even the children weren't interested in learning from him. But here we're talking about not necessarily even at that time was he teaching the adults. As opposed to, Rashi points out, the contrast is with Ezra, who lived in Babel, and the pasuk says on him, Lamed Choyko Mishpat. We had a few days ago when we talked about that Ezra deserved, he would have been worthy, the Torah should have been given through him, except it was given generations earlier through Moshe, and it says the expression on him, Lamed B'Yisrael, Choyko Mishpat. So Ezra did have, there were many people in Babel who are receptive, who are interested in learning Torah from him, and he became the great Maivitz Torah of his time. So we're saying that Mordechai and Daniel were not able to accomplish that, not because of any flaw theirs, but because the people in Elam and Shushan were just not interested, because they had that gashmius ruach. So therefore, that's the point. So the gashmius ruach, it came down to Babel, but in the end, it moved from there. The people of Babel did not end up being gashmius ruach. It ended up most of it moving to Elam, and there they were gashmius ruach, and there they were also therefore poor in turn. Okay. So one more thing about the contrast between the Babli and the Yerushalmi. The pasuk says, "V'machshakim oshivani kemesei olam." In Eicha, we say Hashem has placed me in darkness, like the ones who are dead forever. So what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah zet Talmud shel Babel. That refers to the Talmud of Babel, where again, as we said, they're because they have this aggressive, rough method with one another, then Rabbi Yirmiyah says the result of that is that the learning in Babel is, Rashi says, suffic b'yadim. The learning is all suffic by them. It's not as clear to them as the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the fact is, though, the fact is, we know that the halacha is mostly like the Talmud Bavli. In fact, the Rif says that we follow the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, and pretty much all the poskim after him agree with that point. So he explains ultimately what it is fine. It may be like we're saying over here, the level of learning was inferior to an Eretz Yisrael, but ultimately the Babli was completed later than the Yerushalmi, and they knew what it said in the Yerushalmi, and if they disagree with it means that's a conscious decision, and therefore we have to follow them. Rabbi Hananel actually over here explains the other way around. Rabbi Hananel here, and Rashi himself elsewhere in Chagiga, explains that no, what it means is Talmud Bavli is so deep and profound that it's like a dark place, in other words. So yes, in other words, in Eretz Yisrael, yes, they learn in this gentle way, but it's much more superficial, kind of, so to speak. As opposed to in Babel, yes, they have this aggressive method with one another, but they really get down to the bottom of it over here.
I think that the Bavli is preparing us for Galus for 2,000 years, and we needed this sharpness
and
aggressiveness.
There is definitely that. And in fact, the Rebbe talks about in a number of sikhs that, yes, the Talmud Bavli is particularly what when we're in the darkness of Galus, then we have the Yisra and the Omer, Terech HaChosha. We have the tremendous advantage of the light that the Talmud Bavli brings out from the darkness over here and illuminates the darkness of Galus. Yes. So there is that, but and that's the point. In other words, one point of it is, in fact, that Reb Yirmiyah himself, in various places, Taka puts down the Chachamim of Bavel. And the truth is that I'm right. There were actually different times in it. In the times of Reb Yochanan, for example, the level of learning in Eretz Yisrael was much higher than in Bavel. But later on, the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael in Bavel not only caught up to but exceeded the abilities of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. And then we don't then when we say that it's a joke, we mean in a positive sense, similar to what Rabbeinu Hanano says, and similar to this idea of Yisur Na'or Mitecha Choshech. We go from the darkness of the aggressiveness and all of the Talmud Bavli, and we come out with that with a tremendous greater light of Torah.
And I think that Yerushalmi points towards the times of Mashiach when things will be resolved and
that may well be, and I think there are sichas that imply as much as well. Yeah, right. But the fact is, nowadays, not only do most of us learn the Bavli and we pask in halacha in general according to it, the Yerushalmi is actually quite difficult to learn because for a variety of reasons, including that it wasn't learned as well, therefore the Rishonim didn't deal with it. So there you also have an example. The darkness and the depth of the Talmud Bavli have been thoroughly illuminated for us by the Rishonim, whereas the Yerushalmi much less so. So yeah, and in many places it talks about that's the difference. You have O Yosher and O Choser as it talks about it in terms of Hasidus. You have the direct light versus the reflected light. And yeah, you have all kinds of things like that about how, yes, the Talmud Bavli, as much as we're saying over here, is dark, but there's a greater advantage to what comes out of that darkness than there is to the straightness and the gentleness of the Yerushalmi. Yeah. Okay, the Mishnah says, Omer loy nemen alai abba. Suppose that one of the Balei Din says to the other one, I accept my father as one of our Dayanim, even though my father would be possible Eidos, because he's a relative. In this case, I'm willing to accept him. Or I will accept your father as a Dayan. I will accept that the Dayanim should be three cowherds, three people who are not Baki and Dinim, and are they're simple people who just take care of cows. Is that binding on him? Reb Meir Omi, Yochalach Sabo, Reb Meir says afterwards he could change his mind. The fact is that, okay, I said something, I didn't make a kinyan or anything, you can't hold me to that. The Chum say you can't change his mind. Once you accepted these guys as your Dayanim, then you have to continue, then you have to follow through with it. Another example where somebody foregoes a right that he had, whether he can afterwards reassert that right. Suppose that a person is chayev to the other one to take a shvur. Let's say there's one aid against him or the various other cases where a person has to take a shvur. But omaloi, and the other one says, you know, a regular shvur would involve swearing in Hashem's name and holding a sefer Torah or tefillin or what have you. Instead, you know what, I'm willing to accept a lesser shvur. Durli b'chaye roshcha. Swear to me by the life of your head. Sort of nidur is like nidur is a lashon of shvur, but in other words, instead of swearing in Hashem's name, fine, swear by your own life. So Rameir says he could change his mind and say, you know what, never mind that kind of shvur. You have to take the serious shvur with the name of Hashem. The Chum say he can't change his mind. So the Gemara says, as we learned before, on Daf Chav Gimel, Amr of Dini B'rei Derev Nachman B'rei Reb Yosef, going to Kibla Alei B'chad. What we're talking about over here is when he says that I accept my father or your father or whatever, means that he accepted him in place of one Dayan. So then, and Rameo would hold that he's able to change his mind, but if he accepted him as three Dayanim, but in other words, even though there were two other Dayanim, nevertheless, Reb Meir was saying Yochalach Sabai, and we don't say, well, look, there were two other good Dayanim, and therefore you have to accept the whole complement of Beis Din. That no, Reb Meir was saying that he would say that he could change his mind. Tosfos actually brings a different explanation that Reb Dimi is actually referring to what the Chachamim say. When the Chachamim are saying he can't change his mind, that's when he accepted him only as one of the three Eidim. So because the Chachamim are saying that, listen, it's only one Dayan out of the three, And therefore, then you can't change your mind. But if he had said, not only I'm willing to accept him as one member of the Beis Din to begin with, but I'm willing to accept him as the sole Dayan, then even the Chachamim would agree that he could change his mind, because you have Tauki Lureyes, so you have two reasons to say that it shouldn't have worked, because number one, because he's possible to judge, because he's a relative, and number two, because he's accepted him as one in place of two Edim, or three Dayanim, or whatever, so then even the Chachamim, sort of Jimmy, would be telling us that even the Chachamim might say that he could change his mind then. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Machloikus B'Mochul Loch. Now, the whole Machloikus in our Mishnah is where he's saying that, you know what, I trust my father or your father to be the Dayan, Mochul Loch, if he decides in your favor, then fine, I'm willing to be Mochul you. So, for example, in other words, so you have Reuven is saying to Shimon, you owe me $100. So Shimon is denying it, for example. So Reuven says, fine, you know what? Let's go to a Beis Din. Let's have my father, for example, be one of the Dayanim to judge us. If they come up and say, you know what? Shimon is Potter, then fine, I'm willing to forego the debt. So now the Chacham say you can't change his mind after that. But if it's the other way around, if Shimon is saying, I will accept these Dayanim who would otherwise be possible, and if they judge in your favor, I will give you whatever they said, give it a hakol yochel achsabai, then Rabbi Yehuda is telling us in the name of Shmuel that even the Chachamim would agree that he could change his mind. Because after all, he's still muchzik in the money. So therefore, so you want to take away money from me, for that you need Dayanim who are kosher. And until we have Dayanim who are kosher, I can renege on that and say I don't want to accept. Rabbi Yochanan says the machloikus is indeed by etzem machloikus. He says, I will give you, can he change his mind or not? Well, it boils the hoose. And now the question is, how do we understand that? Does Rabbi Yochanan mean that the machloikus is only on etzem machloikus? But by Mochel Lacha, everybody would agree he can't change his mind. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan would be saying exactly the opposite of Shmuel. Shmuel is saying that the Machloikas is by Mochel Lacha, but by Etzem Lacha, for sure, he could change his mind. And Rabbi Yochanan would be saying the other way around, that by Etzem Lacha, there is the argument in Mochel Lacha, for sure, he can't change his mind. Arjuma, Bein Bazu Machloikas, maybe Rabbi Yochanan means the Machloikas is either way. In other words, yes, the Machloikas is in Shmuel's case of Mochel Lach, but it's also in the case of Etzem Loch, unlike what Shmuel had said. So the Gemara says, Toshna, the Omer Rav Machloikas be'etzem Locha. Rav says the Machloikas in our Mishnah is where he says, I will give you, where it's Shimon, the one, the Nitva, who's saying, I'm willing to give you if this Dayan paskins in your favor. But if it was the other way around, if it was Reuven, the Teveya, the one who's claiming the money, who says, I'll be Moichel you if they decide in your favor, then Rav says, everybody would agree he can't change his mind. So, iyamet b'shleimah be'etzem l'cha machloikas, if you say that Rabbi Yochanan means that the machloikas is only by etzem l'cha, avo b'mochel loch divrei hakol ein yochel lachsabai, but when it comes to mochel loch, everybody would agree he can't change his mind, then fine, we understand that Rava is saying, like Rabbi Yochanan. He's saying that we should accept Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of our Mishnah. Eli, Amit Bein Bezu Machloikas. But if you say that Rabbi Yochanan is saying the Machloikas is either way, and Shmuel had said exactly the opposite, of what Rava is saying, that Machloikas is by Mochel Loch and not by Etzem Locha, then Rava Dama Kaman. Then who is Rava saying? Like, on the face of it, Rava should be saying, like, either Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan. What do you mean? Rava time of the Napshe, Kamar. Rava himself is an Amora. He can say a third explanation. So yeah, there can be three different explanations of what the Machalikas and the Mishnah is. That's no proof one way or the other of how Rabbi Yochanan understands it. Well, let's focus on Rava's opinion. The Gemara says, Eisved of Achaba Tachlifa the Rava. We say in the Mishnah, Hoyach Chayav HaChaveri Shavua, that if the case was that he's Chayav HaShavua, and if he swears, then he's going to have to pay. V'omala Duli B'Chayav Roshcha, and the other one says, instead of taking a Shavua Min HaTorah, just say that you'll swear on your own life, on the life of your head. Rav Meir Omer Yochel Lachsavoy, V'chom Me'en Yochel Lachsavoy. Then Rav Meir and the Chacham argue whether he can back out of that. My love. Now, we have to realize when it comes to a Shavua in Beis Din, there's two different possibilities of the outcome of the Shavua. You can have a shvua to collect, you can have a shvua to be potter for money. That's the only kind that exists in the Torah. So you have a modi b'mitzvah, for example, he swears, then he's potter from paying. a couple of examples, a shomer, a moed mitzvahs, where there's one aid, all of those, if they swear, they're potter from paying. Then you have cases, midrabanan, where a person swears and collects on the basis of that. When we learn Masechta Shavuos, later this year, Be'ez Hashem, we'll learn of such cases. So, my lab, ba'oisen anishboin v'leim mishalmin. So, doesn't it mean, shouldn't we assume that our Mishnah is talking about the cases d'araisa, where we're saying that he's going to swear and be potter? So now he says that the shvur should be duly b'chayirush, swear to me by your life, to have like a macholach, which is the equivalent of macholach, and therefore therefore we would see the machlokas is even by macholach, or only by macholach, as the case may be. Not like Rava says. And the answer is like ba'osan and shvoin v'noitlin, because you could say the Mishnah is talking about the cases where people swear and collect money. So it actually gives several examples. You have, for example, a person swears that I was your employee and you didn't pay me yet. That's an example where the Rabbanan is able to swear and collect. You have a case of a nigzol. There are several cases in Masechta Shavuos like that. So now, in other words, it's a case where he's saying, if you swear to me by your life, then I will pay you. Now can he renege on that and say I want a shvur d'oraisa or not? So that would fit with what Rava is saying. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Valtanalei Reisha. What do you mean? No, that already is said in the Reisha. That you have the machlokas according to Rava, by Etim Machon, the Reisha. So why does it have to repeat it? By a Shavua. And the answer is fine. Tana Tola B'das Achirim, but Tana Tola B'das Atzmai. Fine, because you can say that we're saying that you can be talking about where he makes it depend on what somebody else is saying, my father or your father as a Dayan. And he's also saying Tana Tola B'das Atzmai, where he's saying that it depends on what I do, whether I take the Shavua or not, whether I'm willing to accept the Shavua or not. Or Tzricha. And in fact, Rava would say we need both of those cases in the Mishnah. The itana tola b'das acherim, because if we were talking about only the dayanim, he's saying whatever the dayanim say, I'm willing to accept, even though they're postulators. You could say b'ha kamer rabeir d'matzi hodebe. You know why the mayor says over there that he can change his mind? Mishum d'ray gomer makni. He's not to begin with fully being makne and saying, you know what, I am fully accepting whatever they say, because after all, because he thinks to himself, z'omar, he thinks miyema d'mezaki. Who says that they're going to say that the other guy is right? Maybe they'll decide in my favor. So if I had known that they were going to say that, if they're going to say against me, then maybe I wouldn't have accepted them in the first place. So it's almost like an asmachta. Avob toilo b'das atzmai, but when he makes it depend on his own das, that if you swear a less important shur, such as buy your life, then I'll pay you whatever it is. Ema modi lahul rabbanon. Maybe the mayor would agree with the chachamim that he can't change his mind because he knows. Once I say duly b'chayyadoshcha, then the guy's going to say, excellent, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Why should I take a shvua on Hashem's name when I can get away with a lesser shvua? So therefore, you could say that to begin with, he knew that kind of shvua is going to happen, and therefore it means that he fully accepted that, and even a mayor maybe would say that he can't change his mind. So maybe he would agree with the chacham that he can't change his mind. The Iyashmin and Baha, if we only have the case involving the Shavua, you would say the other way around, Baha Kami Rabbanon, only there. The Chacham say he can't change his mind because we can be sure that it was a full-fledged commitment because he knows as soon as he says, Juli B'chai Yeroshcha, that the other guy is going to grab that opportunity. Ababahi, Ema Modul Rabbanon and a mayor. But in the other case of the Dayanim, maybe the Chacham would agree with the mayor that he didn't know how they're going to rule and therefore that he didn't take a full commitment. So therefore we need, in fact, both cases. So according to Rava, yes, both cases can be talking about as far as etin l'cha, as far as where he's saying, I will pay you on the basis of these dayonim, or on the basis of this lesser shvua, and nevertheless, in each case, the mayor is saying that he could change his mind, and the chachamim would say that not. So we'll continue, Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll continue and analyze more of the mission of Be'ez Hashem.
Yes, okay.